navigating these challenges, what I've learned is it's definitely a mutual synergy. And so it's leveraging the experts in the space, building strong relationships with policymakers and regulatory advisors that can help us, help guide us to submit to the, you know, submit to the right people, as well as, you know, being able to navigate this process together. We're not obviously, this is science, right? There's no essence of cutting corners. It's just figuring out what are the right protocols, the right safety and efficacy data that we can provide to ensure that the technology that we are developing is deeming the standards that need to be met based off of the existing products that have been approved on the market.
You're listening to the Communitas of New York podcast, where we invite you, our business-focused listener, to join us in our strategic focus on business development. In our first season, we viewed the constellation of stories generated by Communitas Ventures Accelerator Program alumni creating positive impact in communities in New York. We explore how community-driven founders navigate the challenges of accessing the right resources at the right time, how they stay true to their respective missions, and how they best manage their potential. We welcome you as we hear tales of trials and successes, as well as valuable advice from our interviewee entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Monique T. Marshall. This is episode 5 with Edicula Matthew of Hair Health Solutions.
Edicula, welcome to the Communitas of New York podcast. I am so excited to have this conversation with you today. So welcome.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes. So we're going to get into all the things, the amazing things that you are doing over at Hair Health Solutions. But before we get into all the things, I would love for if you could just tell me a little bit about Hair Health Solutions and really your journey and what inspired you to start such an innovative company.
Yeah. Again, Edicula Matthew, co-founder, CEO of Hera Health Solutions. Hera Health Solutions, interestingly, was never intended to be a company. It actually evolved out of a senior design research project, which I was pursuing with a couple of my colleagues during my time as a research student in biomedical engineering at Georgia Tech. I was working on a senior design research project, which really took a look at the synergy between biodegradable materials and pharmaceutical drug delivery and seeing if there's a way to utilize existing materials that are already degraded in the body as a platform to deliver therapeutics to the to the body. And so it was sort of the research and that project that really culminated the base of the technology that grew into what Hera Health Solutions is today. And so again, it really started from research that I was pursuing as a student in back in the university days.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I'm a Georgian, so to hear Georgia Tech and hear so much amazing things about Georgia Tech, being from Georgia as well, so impressive. Also, I love the fact that you are focusing on this biodegradable drug delivery system, and I want to talk about how does this address a gap in healthcare. If you could share a little bit more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Long-acting biodegradable drug delivery, it's a mouthful for sure, yes. But it really addresses two major healthcare challenges. Mm-hmm. Number one is patient adherence to taking pills per se. And then number two is the need for minimally invasive treatments. So really the goal for this novel technology is to bridge that gap by offering solutions that release medications over extended periods of time without requiring removal, having a biodegradable material. So we're really tackling really that efficacy and convenience issue that many patients as well as pharmaceutical companies face with therapies or medicines on the market today.
So interesting. And Edicula, another thing that you mentioned, so you mentioned being inspired by your research while at Georgia Tech, and then also you do have this background of working in the ER. And how do you feel like this has influenced the work that you are doing today?
Yeah, so, I mean, it was really serendipity, all of the lines, stars aligning at the right time. So while I was pursuing research, I had sort of the opportunity while I was in Atlanta at the time. So you know Atlanta. So I was actually had the opportunity as a part of a different organization that I was a part of. I had the opportunity to do many shifts at Grady as a biomedical engineer. This organization allowed me to sort of really be a fly on the wall at Grady, number one trauma center in sort of the South. And so a lot of lost implantables would be sort of reassessed, and the interventional radiology departments would be looking at these lost implants in people's arms. And so, you know, sort of being exposed to the challenges that people faced with lost implants, as well as medication adherence and, you know, sort of chronic treatments, you know, I really saw an opportunity there to be able to apply the innovative research that we were working on to potentially alleviate these pain points and ultimately help, you know, develop a solution that could improve patient outcomes. So it was sort of, you know, as you can probably imagine, it's like I was seeing one thing in the lab, and then I'm seeing another thing in the real world. And it's sort of doing that customer discovery process live, and in essence of, hey, I think there's something here in terms of utilizing this research that I'm working on to help bridge this gap that I'm seeing in real life.
That's so great. And now Hera Health is working on its own biodegradable drug delivery implant, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Let's talk about that. And also for those who are not familiar with how implants work, like their potential impact on healthcare.
Yeah. So our bioerodible, we like to call that, it's bioerodible, right? And so the big sort of difference in terms of, this is not something biodegradable sometimes puts into the people's mind that it's sort of throwing it away. Bioerodible means that our technology is capable of delivering a medication over time and naturally dissolves in the body. So it completely eliminates the need for any type of removal per se. So traditional implantables that are intended for long acting release, you would get it implanted within you underneath the skin. And then once the drug runs out, the casing or the silicone or the ethyl vinyl acetate material tech would need to be removed via an explantation procedure. Our implants are bioerodible, and so they naturally dissolve in the body while the medication itself is being delivered. And so this approach really simplifies that treatment for patients by providing a consistent, long-term drug release, reducing the frequency of doses, and overall improving that overall treatment outcome by utilizing our drug delivery platform.
Wow. So I definitely just learned something there because I had no idea. And then just breaking that down, bioerodible. Okay. That is so innovative. I love it. Edicula, this is like, for me, this is the first time hearing about this, but then also this is so innovative, and I'm pretty sure you've reached so much success in having such an innovative company. And I want to talk about today, and then looking back, what has been the biggest milestone or success moment for Hera Health Solutions so far, and how has this shaped that trajectory of your company?
Yeah, absolutely. So you know, we've actually started sort of with this research back in 2016-17. Wow. And as you can probably imagine, developing innovation in healthcare is very, very tough. And what makes it even more tough for us, I joke about this a lot, is we're in this business of long acting drug delivery. So how are you going to know if it works? So you basically sit around and wait, right? You basically sit around and wait for months to see if it successfully degraded. Did it successfully release the drug? Is it hitting the PKPD profile that you're looking for? Are you getting the right dosage? So what we actually have done is we've followed in the footsteps of other successful drug delivery platforms. And so what we were capable of doing very early on is finding a drug that's currently on the market, generic, trusted. And so what we've decided to choose, we decided to go with contraception. So this is a female woman's contraception, generic pharmaceutical, active pharmaceutical ingredient that's already on the market. And we were basically able to take that drug and validate our drug delivery platform on that drug. And so from one of the biggest milestones that the company has hit is securing validation for our biodegradable, bioerodible implant platform technology with a core drug. And that was a super pivotal moment. It demonstrated the potential of our platform and really paved the way for expansion into other therapeutics, really giving the team, our investors, as well as sort of the science to really push forward in terms of scaling our technology. So our flagship product, we still call it, is a etonogestrel-loaded drug delivery bioerodible contraceptive releasing implant that's currently going through the FDA. So that product is sort of ahead of its time in terms of being able to secure large amounts of validation and data. And really, that was our bread and butter, right? So that was the technology that started it in terms of, and I'll tell you this, we had to do it a lot of ways wrong to figure out how to deliver it right. And so now we're working with pharma clients that come to us and say, hey, can you deliver this drug over this dosage? All of the sort of parameters that we're able to set up, we're able to do it much, much faster. So just in terms of understanding, it took us probably about 3 years, 3.5, 4 years in order to develop the right profile, develop the parameters, understand the manufacturing process to develop the Eucontra product. We were just speaking with one of our clients that enabled us, who licensed our technology for an animal health therapeutic. We were in a completely different drug, right? Different profile of drug, different dosage. We were able to reformulate their product within 5 to 6 weeks.
Wow.
So that's sort of, as you can sort of tell, the building up that first one was a major, major milestone.
Yeah, that is a major milestone. And congratulations. So much growth. And I want to stay here for a second because you mentioned starting in 2016 and we're in 2024 now. So it has been some time. So I'm sure, as you kind of shared in this story, is there have been some shifts, some pivots that have been had to have been made and some tough business decisions. So I want to talk about that moment when you had to make that significant strategic shift in your business and how and what drove that decision.
Yeah, I think I shared some of that already. And pivoting is very natural, right? When we first started, and actually funny enough, when we first raised capital, we were initially focusing solely on contraception. Our bread and butter was, and this again, this is when we knew that, you know, conceptually that the technology would work in contraception. We knew we had sort of in vitro bench data that highlighted that the technology would work. However, we didn't know for sure. And so naturally we have to start somewhere. And so we really, you know, when we first focused, when we first decided to move from, you know, 2016, 2017 was when we were doing research, right? Mm-hmm. And in order to start a company, we're like, okay, this is the product that is going to enable us to have a market opportunity to start a company. And that is what we raised capital for, and that is what we really set out to develop. And naturally, as sort of the technology evolved and the data that we were able to capture by developing our first product, the market sort of came after us. We saw the opportunity to move into broader therapeutic applications after really realizing the versatility of the platform. And so this pivot, the shift was really driven by the data that we saw and really showing the potential for our technology to transcend into other therapeutic areas, as well as be able to move into markets and customers that were reaching out to us to say, to ask us whether or not it would be feasible to utilize our platform for other therapeutics. So huge sort of pivot in terms of our business mm-hmm. plan, our strategy, and our model from when we first started.
Yeah. And so for you, being in business for a while now, you do understand the fact that how you start is not going to be oftentimes how you finish. But for a lot of people, they are stuck to those earlier days and early ideas. So for you, when you were going through these pivots, how did you make sure that you were staying true to your mission while you were adapting to these changes in the healthcare market?
Yeah, 100%. This pivot, honestly, is something that we dreamed of. Mm-hmm. It just so happened that we had the opportunity in this pharmaceutical world to be able to realize it earlier than we actually did. So, you know, at the end of the day, we're not a drug company, right? We're not mm-hmm. a contraceptive company. We haven't done any innovation in contraception. What we've innovated really is revolutionizing novel drug delivery mechanisms. And we really, our goal from day one has been to be able to position ourselves to address that unmet need across healthcare and to mm-hmm. focus on long-acting therapeutics and being able to focus in terms of having that unmet need that is there in terms of adherence and delivering therapeutics to the body better via our novel material science innovation. And so it was almost perfect in terms of solidifying what we initially set out to do. And so it just so happened that the pivot, or in terms of the business model, happened a little bit earlier than we envisioned. And some of it, you know, in hindsight, it's almost, you get tunnel vision, right? When we first
right.
and we were like, the first couple of years, we were 100% of our focus was developing this contraceptive technology that is now currently going through the FDA trials. You know, hopefully it's going to be on the market within the next 24 to 48 months. But, you know, it was sort of through that process that we unlocked a different model of the company that has now proven to be much more expansive, global even, in terms mm-hmm. of being able to sort of expand.
Yeah, that's so great. And for you as a leader, like you mentioned, you dreamed of this happening, but it happened a little sooner than you thought. What were some of the lessons that you learned from that experience, and how has it informed your strategy moving forward?
I mean, it's funny, right? I think every day is different in sort of this landscape. I think the key lessons is the importance of adaptability and flexibility on a yeah. daily basis without losing sight of the bigger picture mm-hmm. in a grand scheme of things. Because I mean, you probably get this, right? I mean, on a daily basis, you're putting out fires. You have the you have new opportunities here, you got this happening, you got to do that. But the grand scheme of things is ensuring that, you know, we are achieving the milestones that we're setting out to achieve. And, you know, we have this, you know, amazing technology that we have developed. Let's make sure that we are, you know, maybe it's a little bit harder, but make sure that it is globally scalable. Is it versatile across various medical and therapeutic areas? Can we go the extra mile in this study that we're doing right now so that it's going to benefit us 3 years down the road? Do we need to file a patent in this country that we've never even heard of before? But maybe, right? So it's sort of the sort of those crucial leadership decisions that you have to take on a daily basis to push the company forward in a lean basis that we run on a daily basis, but also balancing that with the high level 10-year plan, exit strategy plan, right. You know, global pharmaceutical market plan, that vision that you have for the company.
Yeah, certainly. And now I want to shift a little bit to some of the, talk about the challenges that you face, because we talked a lot about like all the success, but I'm sure building has been a lot of challenges as well. So what were some of those challenges, especially in the earlier days into now, that you faced, and how did you kind of navigate those?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I hang out with other, you know, healthcare startup entrepreneurs and founders. And it's a consistent joke that we have amongst ourselves. The next company that we start is never going to be in healthcare. And the reason for that is navigating the regulatory pathways and securing the right global partnerships are very, very long timelines, and arduous. Healthcare, with a reason, it is very heavily regulated, right? I mean, for a reason, right? You don't want to put something in your body that hasn't been through highly regulated sort of protocols, right? You want to ensure that what it is, and same thing from the innovator's perspective, you don't want to develop something that isn't proven safe and effective 100%, right? So ensuring that compliance while maintaining innovation is an ongoing balancing act. It's very funny, sort of the balancing act that healthcare entrepreneurs have to constantly play, because you're over here on one side, you're dealing with investors and potential partners and customers, and you're literally talking about how your technology that you've developed is so innovative, it's so nuanced, it's going to be world changing, and then you're on the other end, you are talking about this same technology to the regulatory body, and guess what? You are telling them that this is the exact same thing that's already on the market. It is not, right? That's literally what you're putting together in your regulatory applications. This is as safe, as effective as what's already on the market, right? And everything is these comparative studies to highlight that you are equivalent to what's already on the market. So as you can sort of probably, right, it's a very difficult balancing act of you know, making sure that the product is not too innovative, but innovative for the market, right? You can't introduce stuff to the body that the body has never seen before. That's going to take forever. So how can we find the right sort of balance where, hey, this is moving the needle enough to the point where this is going to have a huge market, because of course, right, it takes a lot of capital to to innovate in healthcare, number one. So the market's got to be big. And then number two, sort of navigating the regulatory pathway. So I think, you know, building a healthcare company comes with that unique challenge of finding the right problem space and ensuring that your innovation finds that right middle ground between having a regulatory strategy that is feasible while hitting the market space.
Yeah. And that is so, I mean, for someone like me who's not in healthcare, it puts a lot of things into perspective. It's so true in why it's important for people like you to be building. And I want to talk about some of the resources that have been valuable to you in this process.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, I started this journey completely blindfolded. I had no idea what the FDA regulatory landscape was like, right? Yeah. I mean, there's class one, class two, class three, you know, 510K approval strategies. There's the PMA, and then there's the drug side. It is a very vast landscape and with a lot of nuances as well, as you can probably imagine. There's a lot of conversations that I'm having with a lot of colleagues of mine, along with regulatory and governmental professionals. We're in sort of, as you can imagine, there's so much innovation in healthcare. There's so much synergies between different technologies and innovations that it's almost as if the regulatory landscape needs to innovate as well. Right. There is the synergy between drug, device, technology in terms of the new stuff, the AI, there's digital. And so the landscapes and the regulatory pathways that are set in stone have been the same ones that have been set in stone for decades. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost the essence of really being able to, in terms of navigating this, we're all in this together. And you know, so what I mean by it's us innovators, it's us startup companies, along with the huge enterprises that are in this space, along with the regulatory bodies, governmental policy makers, as well as the researchers and leaders in the space. We're all really in this together because we want to ensure that this novel innovation that we're building has a clear pathway to the market. I'll tell you that, for example, for us, it's a quick thing. As far as the FDA is currently set up, there is a drug side of the FDA and a device side of the FDA. And so I remember very strongly the first sort of year or two when we first started our company, there was a lot of confusion in terms of, do we submit our technology to the drug side or the device side? Right. And by all means, what we are a drug device combo, right? We deliver drugs to the body with our device. So it's by nature, we're somewhere in the middle. And that's the truth of a lot of innovations now, right? You're somewhere in the middle. Like you've developed something that's a synergy between one thing and the other thing. Navigating these challenges, what I've learned is it's definitely a mutual synergy. And so it's leveraging the experts in the space, building strong relationships with policymakers and regulatory advisors that can help guide us to submit to the right people, as well as you know, being able to navigate this process together. This is science, right? There's no essence of cutting corners. It's just figuring out what are the right protocols, the right safety and efficacy data that we can provide to ensure that the technology that we are developing is deeming the standards that need to be met based off of the existing products that have been approved on the market.
Yeah, certainly. And the wonderful thing about this conversation is that also, speaking of like the things that are needed, this is the Communitas podcast. And so you are a part of the Communitas American network and family. So I want to talk about how Communitas has really helped you in your journey, whether it's overcoming some of these challenges through connections or mentorship. How has this been a part of your journey?
Yeah, super proud. First mm-hmm. off, to be a Communitas alumni, and the sort of love having the opportunity to constantly interact with the leadership at Communitas as well as the other alumni. I think what's super special about Communitas is it's provided access to a network of other like-minded entrepreneurs and industry leaders that have really been instrumental in offering real strategic guidance, connections that we that we really wouldn't have had otherwise. It's unlocked, even just for, not just for the company, but personally for me, it's really unlocked a network of individuals that I genuinely trust in terms of asking for that guidance or that fallback when I need to ask specific things. As you can probably imagine, it'll be very random. I can think of there's many times that, and folks at Communitas knows this really well, is I'll send random emails that have nothing to do with each other. Hey, do you know somebody that can help us out with this? Do you know an expert in this space? Hey, we're looking for this manufacturing thing here. And I know that, that they will respond with something. And that has been amazing. And then that's really been the real takeaway for us. And then the next piece of it is this network and this collaboration with other alumni. We have had the opportunity to engage in an internship partnership with one of the other alumni companies, went through the program at our cohort, and this is the second year that we've done this. And so we've had the opportunity to provide internships to students from lower economic backgrounds based off of the company, the nonprofit organization that the alumni has founded. And they're getting these, amazing internships, scientific R&D internships over at Hera Health Solutions. And it's been, those kind of things, that's super special. And I don't know how you can put a value on that. That is the magic that has, that Communitas has put enabled us to pursue. Some stuff like that would have never happened, right? And it's just completely sort of the process of, right, how else would I have met a nonprofit entrepreneur in New York that is, doing all of these amazing things? And, he reached out to me saying, hey, can you provide science internships? I was like, yeah, that's exactly what we'd love to, right? And so it's stuff like that, right? It's sort of that network that super random, but hey, it's so valuable, precious. You can't put a price on stuff like that.
And looking at being a part of the Communitas community, I want to talk about, because I know for me, like you mentioned, like personally, the opportunities that have opened up for you. Oftentimes, speaking of like, you didn't have a guide when you were going through this process of building your company. So talking about how Communitas has given you the access to things maybe you wouldn't have had otherwise, or kind of kickstarted it to other things.
Yeah, I mean, I think resilience and adaptability are key. And it's always wonderful to have the opportunity to surround yourself with people that are going through the same thing. And that's sort of what it is, right? It's easier to stay focused when you're in a pool of other people that are swimming in the same direction as you are. And that's what Communitas provides, really. And it's not something tangible, right? It's not one specific. It's not one specific thing. Oh, it's right that you can say the community, I guess. Right?
Yeah. I agree. I definitely agree. And so, Adikula, I wanted to touch on your fundraising and grant, securing grants process, because you've successfully been able to secure funding from ANOVA, NSF, and some major other accomplishments. I want to talk about your approach to securing those grants. How was that for you?
Yeah, it's a process for sure. Mm-hmm. Raising capital is a process, all, you know, so we are, you know, very grateful to have venture capital support. Mm-hmm. We're also very grateful to have governmental grant support from major institutions like the NSF. What I say is the approach really is to focus on demonstrating. You know, so we're very tech focused, right? Mm-hmm. So we're a tech company. The crux of our company is the technology. So our approach from day one was really to focus on demonstrating the applicability and the impact of our technology through developing robust data. We mm-hmm. tailored each of our conversations to really clearly articulate how our innovation aligns with the venture capital firm's objectives, as well as, you know, delivering global impact in terms of expansion and scale, and how that mm-hmm. we're on that pathway to feasibly achieving that within the next, you know, 3 to 5 calendar years. Completely different strategies in terms mm-hmm. of venture funding versus grant funding. But, you know, we can, if you want me to go through detail there, we can go through through both of them as well.
Yeah, I feel like touching on some of those things is in, you know, your process because of your success as well. So just touching on just briefly a little bit.
Yeah, venture capital is fairly different. Mm-hmm. Raising venture capital funding it's essentially you're selling shares of the company, right? So you're mm-hmm. selling equity, and so the name of the game there is it's essentially ensuring that you have a viable business model mm-hmm. that works with the business model of the venture capital fund. The fund is looking to 3x their capital. And so if you're, or 10x their capital, or more than that, right? They're looking for unicorns and they're looking for billion-dollar enterprises. That's their golden, that's what they're looking to fund. And so if you have a business model or a technology that is feasible to attain that, then that is what you are looking to build towards. Mm-hmm. So it's really highlighting, but also being truthful to yourself in terms of, hey, does this technology meet the standards of what it is that this firm is looking for? Is it a synergy? Mm-hmm. And I say this to a lot of people, raising funding from investors is almost like dating. It's a two-way mm-hmm. street. When I first started out, I would literally walk into investor meetings like it was an interview, right? I would walk in there, they would ask me a whole bunch of questions, I would answer them, and then that would be it. And that was the complete wrong way to approach it. Later mm-hmm. on, I realized it's a mutual thing, right? Mm-hmm. You want to learn what is the fund. You ask the fund questions and understand whether or not it is a synergy in terms of, because it is a partnership, it is a relationship. You're basically, you know, getting into this long-term relationship with investors that are looking to grow with you as the company and the technology and the business model scales. And so it's being truthful with each other in terms of, hey, this is where the company is. This is where I see the company in 3 to 5 years. We need this amount of capital to achieve these things. Does that fit in with the vision of the fund? Can we work together to achieve our mutual goals? And so that's sort of the outline of venture capital funding and ensuring that, and the truth is, you want to find the right partner, right? Unfortunately, you know, I've seen both sides. I've seen the right synergies really catapult companies to success, And you see, you know, I also unfortunately see the opposite, where the wrong relationships really screw companies as well, where it's the wrong sort of board seats, the wrong synergies, the wrong vision, or clashing visions per se, that really take these young companies to not be successful and sort of bust, right? And we all know that it's tough in the startup space to be successful. And I guess I can shift focuses from the grant funding space. Grant funding is a little bit different. When I first started, something that I had zero experience with, so a large learning curve there. Grant funding is very, very different, where it's essentially you are ensuring sort of you follow this strategy, right? It's very strategic in terms of how you formulate, write the grant proposal. You want to really ensure that you are hitting the needs of the grant ask. And sort of it's really dedicating time and effort to managing the applications and setting clear timelines for your submission, and having those detailed requirements and study proposals, much more so scientific in nature as well as detail oriented in terms of securing some of these grants that are out there.
Yeah. And what about some of the challenges that you face while you're applying for grants, and how did you address those?
So it really is finding the right. So gracefully, we really built a team. I will tell you right now, if I was the one writing the grants, we would not get a single one of them. because that's not my bread. I do not know how to write grants. It's really it's an art. Right?
I agree on that.
So our chief technology officer is actually PhD, 20 years of experience in the space. Mm-hmm. And so he knows grants, right? And so that would be my one word of advice. Find people that know grants. Not to say that you can't learn it yourself, but it's going to be much, much harder. Everything can be learned. I'm a firm believer in that. However, my first piece of advice is find somebody that knows or at least has experience in writing as well as receiving successful grant funding, because it is an art of its own. In terms of how it is that these are written, because it's highly scientific, right? And I'm talking about the grants that you apply for, National Institutes of Health and National Science Foundation. They're reviewed by some of the most renowned scientists in the world. And so you need that level of caliber and that, you know, 10 decades of research experience, which you can clearly articulate on an application to really sort of showcase that the research that you're working on is groundbreaking, right? So that's sort of what you're trying to showcase on that application. And, you know, for sure, 100% what you're doing is probably groundbreaking, but it's how can you put that on a 14, 15 page proposal and articulate that clearly?
Yeah. That is great advice. And before we wrap up, I do want to talk a little bit about the future of Hera Health Solutions and also scaling and growth for you. So I know you're currently preparing for a Series A funding round. What are some of the steps that you're taking to scale, and how are you approaching this process?
Yeah. So we're focusing on scaling our manufacturing capacity, actually. As I mentioned, the crux of our technology has been our manufacturing for pharma companies, and the strategic partnerships and agreements that we've signed with pharma companies, it really helps us ensure that as we grow, we are going to have to build the infrastructure in place to really meet this increased demand. And so what we've really, you know, strategically, you know, from my essence, what we've done over the past 2 years is we have essentially de-risked our technology. We've de-risked the scalability of our manufacturing process. And so this Series A for us is really going to be crucial for us. It's almost, you know, this capital is going to immediately help us scale what we need to meet the demands of existing partnerships that we've already established. So it's almost, you know, we've done ourselves a huge favor, in my opinion, over the course of the past. We haven't raised capital in the past 48 months. And so that's because we've had the great opportunity to work with some amazing pharma companies. We've had revenue come in from these companies. And so that really outlines and de-risks our business model, along with the scalability of our manufacturing process, and of course, the viability of our drug delivery platform. And so very, very looking forward to our upcoming Series A round. And we're excited about onboarding new partners that are going to be along with us for the journey.
Yes. And any strategic steps or approaches that you take when you are getting these partnerships with pharmaceutical companies and manufacturers, how are you facilitating this growth?
I'll tell you this, it is very strategic. Yeah. And I'll leave it. And what I mean by that is we're not, as a company, we are not in a quantity game. We're in a quality game. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is we're not trying to onboard therapeutics or pharma companies or customers that don't make sense for the platform. And thankfully, we have that liberty because, frankly, the pharmaceutical market is just humongous, right? There are one drug can make or break the lifeline of a company, right? Mm-hmm. The market of one drug could be it. That could be the $1 billion exit strategy. So we're very extravagantly strategic in terms of who are the companies that we partner with, what are the APIs, when I mean API, active pharmaceutical ingredients that we are onboarding onto the platform. And so pros and cons to that. Pro is it's extravagantly strategic, right? Mm-hmm. We ensure that there's a long-term vision, strategy, exit, the huge market for each of the products that we're bringing on, as well as they complement each other. And number two, I mean, the con is these are long sales cycles, and that's unfortunately the name of the game, right? So each sales cycle, we're not a company where we're looking at, you know, churn rate, we're looking at quantity and like how many people are clicking on something. We are completely, you know, in this quality game where we are attracting the right strategic customers and developing a robust pipeline for our platform, which is going to enable us to really be one of the leaders in novel, long-acting drug delivery.
I love it. And I also love the fact that, so I found out that you send regular updates to investors and stakeholders, which I think is phenomenal. Do you feel that this has really helped in building that relationship and partnerships as well?
Yeah, for sure. It's funny. You know, I've personally got into this habit when we first started the company, and it's almost it's sort of become a ritual. Mm-hmm. I think the transparent. And it's funny. A couple of years ago, one of our investors said, "Can you stop sending it every? Can you send it maybe a little less frequently?" And I said, the other side of it is it's also been used as an internal thing. Mm-hmm. So it's not external. So as soon as I said that, he was like, "All right, fine, keep sending it everybody." And so it's sort of, you know, that transparent and consistent communication, having the opportunity to, you know, reflect on a weekly basis and keep the, you know, our close stakeholders. We don't send it out to everybody. But sort of keeping those close stakeholders engaged and aligned, I think it really helps build and foster these long-term relationships. And it has been helpful for us, not mm-hmm. just to build external relationships, but it's also something that we use internally as a team. You know, every weekly, every Monday morning, we're saying, all right, this is what happened last week. This is what we're doing next week. I do, you know, as we scale and grow, I do envision that cadence of that changing. But, you know, I will say it has sort of almost turned into a personal ritual for me as well yeah. as the core members of our team, which has its you know, positives and negatives. I'll say that.
Yeah. I love that. And I was like, oh, this is so inspiring. I love it. I also want to ask, what excites you most about the future of Hera Health Solutions and where it's headed?
Yeah. You know, it's a roller coaster ride for me, right? Mm-hmm. I started out sort of doing research on this technology, and every minor win is exciting. It's mm-hmm. super exciting. For me, I think, you know, why I wake up every morning excited is really the broad potential of mm-hmm. applications that our technology across various therapeutic areas. We were discussing last week about vaccine delivery. Mm-hmm. We're talking about contraception. We're talking about animal health therapeutics. You know, this is the possibilities really. You know, I want to say endless in terms of our technology, and I really want to say that we're scratching the surface of what, you know, novel long acting drug delivery can achieve, and what this technology can achieve. And so it's sort of that, you know, turning the page in terms of, you know, there's more. We're unlocking really the true potential of so many different therapeutics, and the sort of that potential is what drives me, really, in terms mm-hmm. of that's what excites me the most. And that's why, you know, I'm so passionate about what it is that we're developing here at Hera Health, and why this is so exhilarating. And it's shocking to me. It's when I just told mm-hmm. you at the beginning that we started in 2017, it was a blink of an eye.
I definitely understand that. Yeah. That's beautiful. And well, Nicola, this has been an amazing, phenomenal conversation. I've definitely been enlightened, and I just love the work that you are doing. For our listeners, how can they find you? Where can they find you, and where can they support?
Yeah, you know, you reach out. HeraHealthSolutions.com is where you can reach out. If you know folks that are in the pharmaceutical industry, if you have ideas, thought mm-hmm. processes, we're a company that's constantly doing, you know, customer discovery. I personally believe that, you know, innovation starts with people. And so if you have a conversation to strike up with me or people on the team, please reach out. All of our emails, our team members, it's our first name at HeraHealthSolutions.com. More than happy to have conversations. We actively are looking for new ideas, therapeutics, and that's just from a customer perspective. If you have, if you're working on novel research in the space, if you have connections to pharmaceutical companies, if you think that there is a way to utilize our drug delivery platform in a novel therapeutic area or an existing therapeutic area, we actually have validated our technology in small molecules, large molecules, biologics. Mm-hmm. So if you have thoughts in the space, please reach out to us. We would love to have a conversation. And then, you know, we're at the end of, you know, we are still a startup company. And so reach out to us in terms of all realms of partnerships, collaborations, university. We do research collaborations with a number of universities. We do a lot of internships. We do a lot of collaborations with other research organizations, companies, grant funding proposals. So if there's a synergy, you probably know it. If you can think of it, if you can think of a synergy, reach out to us. And we're more than happy to explore. That's what we do. We've gotten this far by being crappy, and we're always open, and I'm always available to chat. So feel free to reach out.
That is beautiful. Indigo, thank you so much for being on Communitas of New York. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure. I had a great time chatting with you.
And here's an exciting update about Hera Health Solutions in March 2025. They have secured a highly competitive contract with the U.S. Department of Defense to develop and manufacture a sustained-release vaccine delivery system, with its first use case in HIV vaccine delivery. This initiative has the potential to transform vaccine administration for both military and civilian populations. What an amazing milestone, and a huge congratulations. Visit our website for more information about this and all of our shows. You can find that in the show notes. Thank you for listening, and see you soon. My name is Monique T. Marshall, and this is Communitas of New York. Season 1 is produced by Simone John and David Michael D. Gregoria.